Crimson Tide sports network broadcaster Chris Stewart, the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. Chris Stewart.
Straight up high noon here on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. I'm Chris Stewart. Chad Haney back at the control room, and we are so thankful to Ken Gaddy and everybody at the Bryant Museum for allowing us to broadcast live today from the Paul W. Bryant Museum, commemorating the centennial of Coach Bryant's birth. We had a great first hour. Bill Battle, kind enough to join us, Alabama's athletic director and, of course, former player under Coach Bryant. Kurt McNair, who helped, along with Charlie Thornton, run the publicity office, as they called it in those days, for Alabama football under Coach Bryant, sharing his memories as well as his thoughts on this weekend's matchup between the Crimson Tide and Texas A&M. We'll get into the game a little bit in this second hour, obviously, but a lot of our focus dealing with the 100th birthday of Coach Bryant, and also the debut of the documentary, Mama Called, chronicling the life of Coach Paul Bryant and also specifically his arrival back at his alma mater. His coming to Tuscaloosa impacted so many lives, including a gentleman who is kind enough to spend some time with us on the phone right now, the Jerry Duncan I Like to Practice Award namesake, the guy that will always be the sideline reporter for the Crimson Tide Sports Network, Jerry Duncan, joining us. How are you, sir?
Words.
Well,
it's a pleasure to join you.
I appreciate the time, and I just your initial thoughts on this day, Coach Bryant, the 100th birthday, and I know there are a ton of thoughts, but the first one that pops in your head when you think about the coach.
Well, I guess the first thing would be, you know, what he's meant to me and my life and my family's life. I mean, he was so instrumental to me after football. I mean, you know, you can talk about all the wins we had and all the championships, but you know, football only lasts 4 or 5 years. In my case, I was there. I was redshirted, so I was there 5 years and had the honor of being a student assistant for a couple of years while I was in graduate school. But Coach Bryant was just, he got me my first job, and I didn't want the first job he got me because he was making me work. And I went to work for Bill Sellers up in Birmingham when I was still playing, and we were loading and unloading tractor trailers in the heat, so to keep us in shape, for when we reported back. But then when I came back to Birmingham, I wanted to get in the brokerage business, and of course, Coach Bryant made a call, and just so happened I got a job the next day. But anyway, that's kind of my feelings on it, Chris.
Funny how that worked out. He makes a call and you get the job.
Kind of
had that impact, didn't he? Hey, among the jobs, and apparently, if I remember the story correctly, he didn't take the credit for it, but that kind of launched your broadcasting career as well. Coach's involvement. I know you've told the story a million times, but for our listeners that may not share that one, about how you became the sideline reporter when there really weren't a lot of those at the time.
Well, you know, John Forney had, he called me, and I'd been with he and Doug in the booth for a couple of years, just kind of spotting and talking a little bit. And he said he called me one day, and he said we're gonna put try to go with a third guy and have him down on the field just to see how it goes. He said maybe we'll do it for a year or two and see. And so I immediately thought, well, you know, surely they would have done anything like this without calling Coach Bryant or talking to him about it. So I was in the brokerage business, so I was doing a little business with him. So one day when I called him about some other stuff, I told him, I said, I really appreciate you letting me be down on the field with, we're going to do this sideline. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I don't want anybody down on the field with a microphone. So I called John back and told him, I said, John, I don't think this man on the field is going to work because Coach Bryant doesn't think it's a good idea. But anyway, we got it straightened out. And of course, he gave his blessings to it, and he said he'd as long as there was somebody on the field that knew something about what was going on, it would be fine. So,
well, clearly really they've done. Loosened that. That clearly they've loosened that restriction over the years.
Yeah. Well, you know, and 1 year turned into 24. You know, so. But it was so much fun. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me about it the other day. I got to be on the field with him for those last 10 years, and of course everybody, you know, in 69 and 70, you know, everybody was writing him off. He was too old, and he couldn't change, and all this stuff was going wrong, and they thought that maybe he ought to just go ahead and retire. And all of a sudden, you know, he converts over the offense to the wishbone and starts recruiting football players instead of the guys that I played with, you know, those little old skinny guys. He got some people like John Hanna and Jim Bunch and won 100 games in the next 10 years.
You know, and Jerry, you bring up a great point talking about the players and what they're able to get. I mean, Coach Saban, just like Coach Bryant, looked at as the great mind today in the game of coaching as Coach Bryant was then. But those guys will be the first to tell you, it doesn't matter how well they draw up plays, if they ain't got players as good or better than the other side, they're working uphill the whole way.
Well, there's no question about it. And I've said many, many, many times that I think Coach Bryant won more games, particularly in the 60s and the late 50s, and of course even when he was at Texas A&M. I think he won more players with less talent than anybody that's ever coached the game. And I still feel that way. Now, you know, you swing that forward to Coach Saban. I think Coach Saban may be the best recruiter that I've ever heard about, or maybe the best recruiter in the world. Because these guys that he brings in, I mean, they just, good God, I don't even know. I didn't even know they made people 6'4" and 6'5" and weigh 350 pounds and can run like a deer. You know, that's just, and he just does a fantastic job. And not only is he a great recruiter, when they get there, you know, it's his way or the highway. So, I think there's a lot of similarities there with Coach Bryant and Coach Saban, obviously.
That's what Coach Battle was telling us in the first hour when he sat there. He said, you know, he said the comparisons are fair. I know the eras are different, but there are so many similar traits between the two, and I think, Jerry, that's why people of my era, my generation, are so thankful that we're getting to witness history now. I remember Coach Bryant, but I was a small boy. I didn't get a chance to really understand it and appreciate it and live it to the degree that people like yourself that were part of making that history did.
Yeah.
And now that we have a chance to see something similar, it is really, really special. And for somebody like yourself that has seen both eras, wow, what an opportunity.
Yeah, and I tell you, if I could tell Coach Bryant one thing, I said I just wish that he could have figured out in the late 50s and 60s that you could give people some water and give them a little water every once in a while to practice, and they might perform a little bit better.
just a little driving. Hydration.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, we had one. We practiced. Of course, back then they didn't have this 20-hour rule. We practiced for 3 or 4 hours a day, and about halfway through, he'd line everybody up on the practice field, and they'd give you a piece of ice, and then Coach Goostry would run along behind him and give you a salt pill, and then I started when I was in the 70s. You know, when I started recruiting all these big guys, I'd go down to practice there once in a while. They those big old guys, they'd go out there and they'd run two or three plays, and they'd go back behind them, and they had a water tank set up back there. They just get all the water they wanted. I just wish Coach could have figured that out in the 60s.
it made your life a little bit better?
Oh, man, it would have been great to have some water every once in a while.
All right, Jerry.
Man,
what a man.
He was one of a kind. I miss him. I think about him every day. Golly, I was lucky enough to get to see the documentary the other night, and boy, it's fabulous. They did Ken Gaddy and those guys. They did a great job at the people at the Bryant Museum.
And he's going to be on a little bit, and I want to get your feedback on this, Jerry. If we're sitting here on October, somebody I won't be, but sitting around in the Nick Saban Museum on October 31st of 2051, commemorating the 100th. anniversary of Coach Saban's birthday. If Coach Bryant's documentary was Mama Called, will Coach Saban's be Mal Came to Get Me? with the subtitle and Terry said we're going. Would that work all right?
Whatever. I got to talk to fortunate enough to talk to Heather Cook, which is Mal's daughter, yesterday, and
sure,
she is still out in Arizona, and we talked about Mal. And but I'll tell you one thing. I don't know what Mal did. I don't know what he told Coach Saban or what he told Terry, but whatever it was, I'm glad he said it, and because he's certainly the guy that brought him to Tuscaloosa, and I hope Coach Saban and Terry are happy, because they sure brought a lot of happiness to Alabama, not only from the standpoint of football, but the Knicks kids program and all the stuff that they did down there with the when the tornado came through. They just they do so much for the community, which would be just exactly like Coach Bryant, you know, in similar ways.
All right, last thing before I let you run. I got to ask you your thoughts on Saturday and how Alabama will line up against A&M.
Well, I saw that fiasco last year at Bryant Denny, and that I really don't have much of an opinion about it. I know one thing: you've got to contain that guy. You can't let him get out there and start running around. He's a lot quicker and a lot faster than I think a lot of people think. Once he breaks containment, not only that, he obviously has great vision of the field, and he has a great knowledge of where his receivers are, and they did a great job in Tuscaloosa last year of breaking off those backs, and the backs looked like they might have taken their eye off of the receiver for just a minute. All of a sudden, you know, there's a 20 or 30 yard game, but I feel good about it. I'm not going to get to go, but I'll certainly be at 2:30. I'll have it tuned in, and hopefully we can have a big crowd out at the airport bringing some happiness back to Tuscaloosa.
Jerry, awfully kind of you spend some time with me. Always love to visit. Yeah. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Chris. You take care of yourself.
You do the same, buddy. Take care. Jerry Duncan joining us here on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide99.1.com. Jerry, of course, former player for Coach Bryant, a successful businessman in Birmingham, a guy who falls into the same category, but Tuscaloosa, home for him. Tommy Brooker joining us. When we come back, we'll get your phone calls. We have been so tied up with guests, we haven't really gotten to the phones, but we will work those in, I promise, at 342-9904, or you can drop me an email, chrisstewartshow@yahoo.com. Of course, we're available on Facebook and also at Twitter, at Tide99.1FM. This is your home for Alabama sports as we broadcast live from the Paul Bryant Museum.
Tide 99.1, Tuscaloosa station for sports talk and the home of Alabama sports. The new Tide 99.1.